Welcome to the Lightning Round.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I think I'm just going to keep that intro as it is. I really do, because you just can't wrap your head around some of the stuff that they're doing these days. But hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Dave Kirshner Lightning Round podcast. It's week 7 of the 46 quadrennial Hunger Games, and I am your host, Dave Kirshner. So let's get started. Let's get into the news. And you will not, you just can't help but shake your head, because as if it wasn't enough that the left went after and posted disclaimers for Sesame Street, and then they renamed the product line for Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head to be gender neutral, now we have a company that actually is so woke, they canceled themselves. And that's Dr. Seuss Enterprises. They have decided that they are no longer going to publish 6 books because they felt that they were not inclusive and they were offensive to themselves. So, way to go, Dr. Seuss. Oh, just a bunch of ding-dongs. So, I'm going to cover a couple things, and I'm not going to take nearly as long as I did last time, but, and these are more headline grabbers and things of that nature. So it looks like Biden and his, band of merry miscreants, they weren't satisfied with just killing the Keystone Pipeline. Now they've gone after, a copper mine in Arizona, which had already been approved. They had done all of the analysis that needed to be done from an environmental standpoint. But they went and killed it. They went and killed 1,500 jobs that would have brought in over $150 million of annual revenue into the state of Arizona. But they killed it because they're Democrats, and that's what Democrats do. And let's see. Well, Biden actually did get his head out of his ass long enough to realize that his nomination for the budget chief, Neera Tanden, this is how smart this one was. So she gets nominated to be the director of Office of Management and Budget. The Senate is split 50-50. And when she gets nominated, she goes and deletes 1,000 tweets where she has attacked members of Congress that are in the Republican Party. Well, you know, somebody was out there just grabbing screenshots all day long, so it didn't matter that she deleted them. Because once they're on the internet, they're on the internet forever, baby. And so she got just slammed during her confirmation hearings. And so they have decided that there is no way forward for her. And they agreed with her to remove her for consideration for this nomination. So that's actually kind of funny. And the next two pieces are dealing with the weakness that other nations perceive us around the world when a Democrat is a president. So the first one is, within the first month and a half, Biden and his handlers, I don't even think Biden even knew this had happened, but he had launched airstrikes in Syria. Well, when you have a president as feckless as this guy, the people retaliated. They launched rockets back at a base in the middle of Iraq. I don't think that they would have launched those missiles had Trump gotten a second term. Apparently somebody died from a cardiac-related episode, a contractor. But it just, you know, it just begs the bigger question, or the larger question. You put this guy in charge, I think, via voter fraud, and we'll get back to that topic in a second. But you put this guy in charge, he doesn't even know what day of the week it is. The press corps, well, I don't even know if it was his press corps or somebody else's, but he actually decided to go off script and say, yeah, sure, I'll sit here and answer some questions if that's what I'm supposed to do. Click. There goes the news feed. He's not answering questions. I wonder why. And you notice you haven't seen Comrade Kamala around anywhere lately. You don't see her name in the news. They're keeping her under wraps, probably grooming her for that 25th month when Biden steps down so that she can try and finish out his term and then legally, by constitutional standards, be elected to two terms as president. So we might get 10 years of that of that person as president if the Democrats manage to continue with their course of action when it comes to voter irregularities, let's call them that. And that brings me back to some of this voting stuff. So last night or the night before, the Democrats passed a bill through the House that they're calling the Freedom... Oh, wait, no, it's called For the People Act of 2021. It passed in the middle of the night on Wednesday night with a vote of 220 to 210. That's the current split in the House of Representatives. Not one Republican joined the Democrats. And it's just, it's unbelievable what they actually put in this bill. So they want to go after gerrymandering, because gerrymandering distorts our democracy. That's another way of Democrats saying, we don't like how you drew the lines, we're not winning enough, so we're going to move the goalpost. We're going to change the rules. That's what that says. This bill empowers the Justice Department to crack down on laws that curtail voting rights along racial lines. I'm sorry, what? Last time I checked, there are no laws that say you can't vote because you're a different race, different color skin. That's actually illegal already. So I'd be curious to see what this bill's trying to address. Oh, man. The bill also reforms the campaign finance system to amplify the voices of the people, not the powerful. And it will modernize and secure our future elections against all manner of threats. Really? The bill will create an automatic voter registration system across the country. It will allow felons who have served their sentences to vote. It will also expand early voting and enhance absentee voting by simplifying voting by mail. Allah, pass this bill so we can keep stealing elections. That's what that says. That's the bottom line. But if you look at all three of those parts, so an automatic voter registration. So when you turn 18, you're automatically registered to vote. Oh, and by the way, as a side note, they want to lower the voting age from 18 to 16. Genius. Can't get the kid out of bed to get to school on time, but by all means, let them vote. Let them help control where the country goes. These kids are so hormonally imbalanced, they're just going to pull a lever, and if they're in the middle of some sort of dramatic temper tantrum because their boyfriend or girlfriend cheated on them or left them or broke up with them or whatever, whoa, I'm going to go pull the lever for this guy. Just sheer jackassery. Oh, it makes your head hurt. You know, I really don't have an opinion on the felons being allowed to vote. I mean, right now, if you're convicted of a felony, you've lost your right to vote. And expanding early voting and enhanced absentee voting by simplifying voting by mail. So that's really them stuffing the ballot box. That's where you get more videos of them pulling pre-printed ballots out of secreted boxes underneath tables, so that when the sheriff shows up to escort anybody from the GOP that's monitoring voting and voter integrity, they can whip these things out that are pre-printed. There's video evidence. That's the thing I don't get. There's video evidence of them doing this. Where's my court case? Where are the state Supreme Courts on all this? And I mentioned this on the previous episode. I mean, they punted. They said, oh, federal election, we don't want to touch it. But, and then you get the Supreme Court, and they were like, eh, no. Justice Thomas, he wrote a rather scathing dissent. You should go read that. He basically said, you guys are a bunch of pansies. We should be looking at this, but you didn't. You know, so that's just one more thing. But here's the kicker of this voter bill that they passed in the middle of the night. A major pillar of the legislation is setting up a new public financing system for congressional and presidential elections to incentivize small dollar donations. The legislation would establish a 6-to-1 match using taxpayer money. Me, you, your taxes are paying for this. For each grassroots contribution to a candidate up to $200. So that's saying, hey, we don't feel like campaigning anymore because there were 16 of us and we all had to be out on the campaign trail during the 2020 election. So to make it easier, so we can stay in Washington and continue our 4-year-long temper tantrum should another Republican make it to the White House, if you guys set up this system, we'll use your taxpayer money to fill our coffers so that we can pay for advertising and staff so that we don't have to pay for them out of our own re-election budgets. What a bunch of crap. This thing's going to, obviously, it's going to die in the Senate. But, well, one would hope it would die in the Senate, but you never know these days. And the bill also included one last shot at President Trump. Of course it did. You know it was coming. You know it was coming. But the bill requires anybody running for president to disclose their tax returns. What? I don't care about your tax returns. I don't. My chief overriding concern is, do you have ideas that align with mine? And that way I can support something like that or a person that is running, male, female, black or white. I don't care. Do not care what your gender is or what color your skin is. Do your ideas align as close as possible to mine when it comes to conservatism and federal finance and debt and all of these things that make up me and my core political beliefs? Do you align as close as possible to me, and therefore I would vote for you? But at no point do I actually care what your tax returns say. Now, I do care when somebody goes into Congress, either the House or the Senate, and they came from, you know, maybe they were a lawyer. Okay, lawyers make decent money, good lawyers anyway, 6 figures. If you come into the political arena with no previous experience and then you park the bus in that building for 20 years, 30 years, and you come out a millionaire and you haven't practiced law in a courtroom in that time, you've had no clients, but you come out a millionaire, yeah, I want to see your tax returns. You bet your ass I want to see them. It's just too much. But back to feckless, bumbling Biden. So not only do our enemies now feel emboldened to retaliate against us when we exercise our rights to protect ourselves, but now, because of his stance on immigration, there are caravans heading to the border. And they're wearing Biden t-shirts that I guess they printed somewhere in Central America, Mexico or one of the countries that they originated from, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Panama, wherever they started. And the shirts say, "Biden, let us in." And they're all headed to the border. This is just genius. Genius. Just boggles the mind. And the last bit of news was pertaining to, you would think DC was a war zone because they still haven't taken down any of the security fencing and barricades and things around the Capitol. Because apparently March 4th was the traditional day for the inauguration of presidents. And the Capitol Police are increasing security around the Capitol because they've obtained intelligence that suggests a possible plot by a militia group to breach the U.S. Capitol on March 4th. You can't make this stuff up. Maybe in another episode later on, maybe I'll try and figure out, what would it take? What would be the line of no return for a second civil war? I mean, honestly, there's so many people that don't want anything to do with a second civil war, me included. But that being said, what would it take for another one to start? How far does the left need to go before somebody on the right, who I'm telling you, the right has been very restrained since 2008 when Barry Obama got in there and started all of his hope and change, which was crash and fail. I really don't know what it would take. What would be that final straw that pushed somebody over the edge? But I don't want to see it, but it's not going to be pretty. So, all right, let's move on. So today I thought I would do something different. I'm going to interview my wife, which is a double-edged sword. I don't know what she's going to say. But she is, she's a high school biology teacher. She has a degree in microbiology. And I thought it would be a good idea because I read an article about Mark Zuckerberg shooting his mouth off about how the vaccines were going to modify your DNA and your RNA and all of this crazy stuff. He later took it back. But I thought it would be fun to interview her so she could give us a quick lesson on what the COVID virus is, what the vaccine actually does, and I'm actually kind of nervous. I'm not sure what she's going to say or do. But hold on. I'm going to go get her and we're going to do this interview. It's going to be pretty, hopefully it's just scientific and she doesn't bash on me too much.
Oh, funny story. So I started a movie last night. We were laying in bed, and she was like, I don't feel like watching any more of this TV show that's serialized, whatever. And so I found on the Roku channel, I found an old movie with Brandon Fraser and Alicia Silverstone called Blast from the Past. And there's a scene early on when hopefully you've seen it, but maybe not. But the Brandon Fraser's dad, what's the guy's name? More cowbell! That guy.
That would be Christopher Walken, Dave. Pay attention.
He's the dad, and he's built a bomb shelter. It takes place, the show starts in the 50s, and Cuban Missile Crisis, and Kennedy, and Khrushchev, and all of that stuff. And the dad's just kind of walking through his bomb shelter after they've been locked in there, and he's just... He's got a clipboard, and he's taking notes, and he's checking his lists of all kinds of stuff, his supplies and stuff. And all of a sudden, my wife, she sits up in bed, and she goes, holy shit, that's who I married! Oh, man, that was funny. I'm glad I just remembered that. I could share it with all of you. All right, hold on. Let me go get my wife.
And now we pause for 30 seconds for some shameless self-promotion. If you like the show and are curious as to how my crazy, fertile, and creative mind works, then you need to visit my Amazon overlords and pick up my 5-part fictional series today. In a nutshell, over the course of When Rome Stumbles, Hannibal is at the Gates, By the Dawn's Early Light, Colder Weather, and A Time for Reckoning, I crash the big ag and financial industries, unleash some jihadists and an EMP, then spend 20 years trying to evade a socialist dictator. Good time! So pick up a copy today. Daddy needs to make a land purchase, baby. Come on. And if reading isn't your thing, fear not. When Rome Stumbles, Hannibal is at the Gate, and By the Dawn's Early Light are in audio format, too. Colder Weather and A Time for Reckoning will be in audio format by the end of the year. Fiction is in your bag, you're new to prepping, more of an herbalist kind of gal, prefer to make food, not war, got you covered there too. Pick up a copy of one of my nonfiction books from my overlords at Amazon, cook succulent multi-course meals by using some of the menus in just a small gathering, or get that medicinal garden going by planting some of your favorite ingredients for recipes in the home remedies, poultices, salves, and tinctures. And if you're curious about how to solve some of your prepping problems, pick up a copy of Preparing to Prepare and see what I've done and what I recommend. And if you want to see what I'm doing when I'm not working my 9-to-5 gig, recording my podcast, or writing my books, then go to my website at davidjkirshner.com and read the blog. See what books and websites I recommend, read research white papers, download or listen to the latest podcast episode. Or, if you want to contact me about anything, just go to davidjkirshner.com. This has been a public safety announcement and shameless self-promotion for David J. Kirshner. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program. All right, so I found her. She was hiding. So I thought I'd bring my wife in because she is a teacher and she knows about all kinds of scientific stuff. So, hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
Introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hi, I'm Trisha, and I guess my background that would make me more qualified than maybe Dave to talk about the coronavirus and other things that are going on with vaccines. I have my bachelor's in biology and my master's in education. I'm AP and IB certified, National Board Certified Teacher, and I've been teaching biology since 1994, so I'm just about ready to finish out my 26th year of teaching high school students.
All right. So, speaking of high school students, let's pretend I'm one of your students. So, spoon feed me this information because I might not be the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to some of this. So, let's start at the beginning. What is COVID?
All right. So, the easiest way to explain that is that it's a novel virus. So, it's a new virus. It's just a silly way of saying new virus. And it's a virus that is now obviously causing a pandemic. And it's different than, say, other viruses because we just don't have any information on it. We didn't know how it was spread, where, you know, if it was airborne or if it was by touching things. There's so much unknown about this virus.
So now that we've had it for a year, we've been dealing with this for almost a year. I've been home for a year next week. Did you know that?
Yeah, and my students are actually going to be starting back to school next week all in for the first time. We've been, you know, all online and then hybrid for a while now. So it's going to be the beginning of a new era for us going back all in.
So I'll ask you questions about going back all in a little bit. Okay, so I did a little bit of research in preparation for this conversation. And so the biggest concern, the biggest questions, I guess, during the beginning of this was how was this different than, say, you know, the flu, because it presents like flu-like symptoms, or how is this different than H1N1 or SARS? And what I found is that the flu and H1N1, they're both influenza viruses, but SARS is actually a coronavirus. And what we learned was that SARS symptoms were much more severe, so they were more easily identified, and so we could isolate them quicker, so we didn't really get the pandemic that we have now. But because coronavirus is lesser symptoms, it's harder to isolate. So what kind of stuff can you tell us about COVID?
Probably the easiest way to start would just be to talk about the basic idea of, like, what is COVID-19, and just understanding that it's a virus that can spread from person to person, and it's a new or novel virus, so we didn't have a lot of information going in the beginning, and that you can have it and have literally no symptoms, or you could have severe illness from this, which made it really difficult to track, to keep track of for, you know, to knowing we're going to pass it on to people. Because every virus is completely different, and this COVID-19 virus presents itself like other coronaviruses in the fact that it has structurally, if we can talk about structure, can we get a little technical?
Sure.
So structurally, you know, you think of a sphere like a tennis ball, and then on the outside of it, it would be like having little tiny, even like push pins sticking out all around it.
Like a gumball? Like from a gumball tree?
Oh, yeah. So that would be good. But they're not called... What is that called? That's the sweet gum? Yeah. The sweet gum tree. Like, think about those. That's actually very good. So all of those receptors on the outside of it, gave it that signature look. And you may have, know what that kind of looks like just from even looking at emojis on your phone. There's now a coronavirus emoji.
They actually call them spikes.
Yes, they're spikes. They are spikes. They're protein spikes.
Doesn't sound very technical. Spikes.
It doesn't. And they're just made of protein, which is kind of important to know. So that is how they get into human cells, by using these proteins that are on the outside, these spikes. So kind of understanding that, they realized that what they could do is trick your body. So that goes into the vaccine. Can we talk about the vaccine?
Sure.
Okay. So being able to get vaccinated, which I am, so it's kind of exciting because I'm a teacher, even though I'm at the young age of 49, I was able to get the vaccine along with our 75-year-olds in Ohio. So that was a real privilege for us, so that we could go in and go all in and feel protected. But what they did was they isolated the piece of genetic material. So I might have to go back
go
even more.
Go in full-on teacher mode.
Okay. So every protein in your body, or every structure, anything that's, you know, a part of your body, enzymes, everything is coded for by your DNA, and it's deoxyribonucleic acid. And so each of those codes has an individual length and sequence of bases that gives your code, your body, a code, and it tells these ribosomes that are in every single cell to produce a protein. So the scientists...
Like insulin?
Yes. So there would be a code that produces insulin. Right. And we actually have genetic engineering to produce insulin. We have bacteria currently producing human insulin so that we can literally bottle it and distribute it to patients that have...
Well, why can't we just give whatever a diabetic needs to get them to start producing their own, so they don't have to be.
And they're in the works. Yeah, so that's something that's in the works. So this is a huge idea when we look at what's going on with how we do this. So go back to the DNA. So the DNA, they figured out the code that codes for these spike proteins. So what they did was they isolated not the DNA, but its copy. So your cell has DNA and it's kept inside of your nucleus and it's protected and it never leaves. But when you want to make a protein, it sends that piece of message or that gene message in the form of something called mRNA, messenger RNA. So your messenger RNA will then be made a copy of that code and leave the nucleus to go to the ribosomes to produce the proteins. So they figured out exactly what mRNA code they needed to make these spike proteins. So what they've done is isolated that mRNA code. They've put it in a lipid sphere so that it has sort of a mechanism they called a vector.
Like a fat cell.
Kind of, yeah, like a bubble. Mm-hmm.
They've
put these lipids with the mRNA in it into the vaccine, and then it is injected into your body. And then your body receives that mRNA, and your body immediately will start making that protein of those spikes. Now, your body doesn't need those spikes. Your body will actually recognize those spikes as foreign, and your body will then start fighting the spikes, which means they're producing antibodies. Which,
like blood cells?
Yeah, so it's producing the antibodies that are going to fight off that infection.
Right.
And so then your body recognizes them as foreign. So that's the beginning. And then you get a booster shot, you know, depending on if you had which vaccine you get, you know, 21 days later, 30 days later. And now there are vaccines that may not have the second shot, but the second shot is to sort of remind your body and to start it makes your body have another response to those proteins being made. But the mRNA never enters your nucleus. It never is incorporated into your DNA. Your body, it'll eventually just disintegrate and, you know, it's gone. And your body then has built an army or, you know, antibodies in order to fight off that virus. So now, when you come into contact with the virus, your body will immediately have that reaction. So you may end up having some symptoms if you do have an infection from COVID, but it will be very, very minor. So that's kind of the idea of how that works. So your immune system just produces antibodies and will destroy those spike proteins.
So when you hear celebrities, big tech guys like Mark Zuckerberg, go and say, don't, you know, the vaccine's changing your DNA. I mean, he later retracted it once I think somebody schooled him. But when you see stuff like that, what do you think when you see that?
They don't understand the science. They think, you know, that there's some kind of conspiracy theory behind making this vaccine. So I think that you just have to really look at and listen to what the scientists are saying and do your own research. You could research how the virus works and find pretty good information, I think.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. You do know that the last two Republican presidents during their presidency had to deal with a coronavirus. Now that'll make you go,
So you think it was some kind of conspiracy theory?
I'm just saying that thought is out there in the universe right now.
You know, I think that's really why it's important. You know, my students even asked, you know, where did it come from? What's going on? You know, there's so many theories behind it. And I think that right now we need to focus on making sure people stay well and that we can contain the virus. And then, you know, once that has happened, going back in and looking at origin and things like that will be important. But right now,
they know the origin. It was Wuhan, China. We'll avoid the politics. It's not really in your wheelhouse, and I could argue with you for days.
Yes.
So we talked about how the vaccine works. Or how vaccines work in general, mm-hmm. as well as this particular vaccine. So, has anybody said anything about how long the vaccine will last? You mentioned a booster shot, so do we have to get one like 9 months or 12 months down the road? Mm-hmm. How long is this good for? Like, you get the polio vaccine, that's it, you're done. You don't
right.
have to ever get that shot
So,
again.
Interestingly enough, when you do get the vaccine, you get a vaccination card, and on the card, there was an expiration date number, and a lot of people were confused, but that was the expiration date for the vaccine to be inserted into the human. So be careful about that. Don't get worried that, you know, the vaccine expiration date's a month later, because that doesn't mean, it just means that they need to get that injected by then. But the common thought is now 9 to 12 months for, but they don't know. I mean, this is all up in the air, and so it's kind of, you know, looking at case by case and trying to figure out how long people stay, you know, immune from the virus or symptom free. You know, having friends and family that have had the coronavirus, knowing that they have around 3 months of immunity. I had a friend who had coronavirus and she donated blood recently, and she did not have antibodies, and it was 4 months later. So, you know,
she had the coronavirus. That wasn't because of the vaccine.
No, she had not had the vaccine. I was just saying, okay. Like, how long? Because, you know, if you have the coronavirus, you then have antibodies for a while to protect you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so we don't know. But then what they're saying is probably like the flu, there'll be a booster shot every year to keep people protected until we have this contained.
All right. So I'm glad you brought that up. So what do you, for like people like me, I do not get the flu shot. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to get this shot. But, and I think I'm the poster child of herd immunization because you've had the two shots. Both of our daughters have had COVID. I don't leave the house except to run errands. And I generally don't like being around people anyway. So I'm, you know, I'll put on the mask and I'll stay 6 to 10 feet away and leave me alone. And that's it. That's my life right now. It's been that way for a year. Why do I need to get this shot? And what do you think when you hear people like me say, I don't want to get the shot. I'm going to go with herd mentality and herd immunization. Go ahead.
Huh. Well, I think you're being selfish, and I really want to see...
Baby!
I know. I think that you do it for others around you. You look at our family and our, you know, our parents that are, you know, in their late 70s, and you look at the people that live next door to you and the people you're going grocery shopping with, and maybe you want to go to the bowling alley or have dinner at a restaurant, or maybe you are
just... You do all this stuff now.
That is absolutely true. But knowing that you have the shot and that you're helping the community and the world to contain this virus is beyond you. I think you have to talk about, you know, because getting this virus does not mean that you're going to have some kind of change in your DNA. There's not going to be any kind of...
No, I don't have a... That's not what concerns me. I don't like shots in general, but... You know, even though you've got your shots, you're at 95%. It's not 100%. Polio, 100%. COVID, not. So there's still a 5% chance you could get it even though you've got the shot.
True. But you hear scary cases like I read yesterday about this man who was just an amazing community member. I don't know if you've read this. And he ended up getting COVID and was hospitalized and had some major respiratory issues. And came home, and now they're deeming it to this new psychosis. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yes. And
what are you talking about?
He committed suicide. And the wife was recounting, and his friends were recounting his days after, like 5-6 days after he got home from the hospital. He was pacing the house and was saying, like, I'm so sorry, like saying things. So there's all these things where they're thinking that maybe it's part of rewiring in the brain, that the virus does some rewiring in the brain that causes some psychosis. So, you know, there's just so many things we don't know about it. And the fact that you have a vaccine that could keep you from that kind of destruction of, you know, your mental abilities and keeping your family safe would probably be a way to contribute.
So you're appealing to hearts and minds is what you're doing.
Science.
Okay, we're going to go with science. All right, so you have a friend from college, and he posted something. What did he have to say there?
It was just a really neat kind of recount of what was going on in his body after... He's a real scientist in heart. Not even... And he kind of looked at it from a really neat perspective. You know, and I just think it's a really cool story. Do you want me to read it?
Sure.
Okay. So he wrote, after my vaccine shot yesterday and as I sleep, the small strands of synthetic mRNA that were delivered into my cells via a nanotechnology lipid shell are being decoded by my ribosomes in my cell's cytoplasm and my cells are translating the mRNA into an amino acid polypeptide chain, which then folds into a protein, and specifically at the exact same spike protein that is on the surface of COVID, which allows COVID to enter my cells. Trillions of COVID spike proteins are being translated from my RNA all over my body. These spike proteins will then move to the surface of my cells, where my body will recognize them as foreign and begin producing antibodies to them. It is these new natural antibodies my body is making that will protect me and attack and block the same spike proteins on the surface of the coronavirus when it enters my body, rendering the virus unable to enter my cells and infect me, thus useless. So historically, vaccines are the injection of denatured viruses to elicit immune response. This vaccine is totally different. No COVID virus is being injected into you. This is not science fiction. It's not a conspiracy.
Everything's a conspiracy.
This is the first ever mRNA vaccine. This is the innovative power of science. And this is the beginning of the end of this horrific pandemic that has harmed so many. So you should take the vaccine. You should do that. I mean, there's just no reason not to.
I don't like needles.
We'll give you a sucker afterwards.
Are you calling me the pansy?
I'm just saying a sucker might help.
All right, fine. Thanks for coming in.
I have enjoyed every moment of
this. I love teacher time.
I do.
It makes me so happy. Am I the teacher's pet now?
You are the teacher's pet. You get to go smack the erasers outside.
Sweet.
Recess.
I get to inhale the chalk dust. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
And that was my wife. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you learned something. I'm not quite sure if you got anything out of it from me, but she had a lot of helpful information. We forgot to come back to the topic of going all in with her students, which has not taken place for at least a year now. So maybe I'll talk to her and relay that information after everybody goes all in. And that is a wrap on episode 3 of the Dave Kirshner Lightning Round podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.